Our next guest, though, is the captain of the Collingwood Footy Club after an outstanding win last night. They're now 4 wins and 1 loss. The former skipper, Nick Maxwell, is here. I know he's got some very hard questions for Scott, so we'll just warm him up with a few soft ones before Nick really gets the teeth out and gets stuck in him. How are you, Scotty? Thanks for your time.
No worries, boys.
Well, it was an outstanding night last night, obviously a terrific performance. Just take us in terms of the night for Mick Malthouse and your relationship with him. Obviously, he was your premiership coach. Did it change anything in your approach to the game and your feeling going into the game last night?
No, I think as a whole side, we acknowledge the milestone that Mick was about to achieve, and we sort of tried to put ourselves in Carlton shoes, and we knew they'd come out with a lot of energy and enthusiasm, and we wanted to make sure we sort of put them on the back foot as quickly as possible. And you know, I felt we did that, and I felt the boys played a really good brand of footy. And I think for a lot of the young guys to go through Anzac Day before the big Carlton Collingwood clash was sort of like a good precursor to the atmosphere and the intensity of, you know, these big rivalry games.
I suppose internally it's probably felt this way for a long time. But from the outside now, it really seems like it's Nathan Buckley's team.
Yeah, well, it has been for 3 years, 4 years, I think, he's been coached for. So, that's a tough question. I've heard that a lot, people saying it feels like it's Bucks' team now. It has been since day one. All the boys have always listened to what he's had to say and tried to implement, you know, his game plan and what he's wanted us to do.
Nick,
Pendle's your own leadership, mate. I think, obviously, I've watched you closely and seen you grow, but even the last 4 weeks, I think I've seen 5 weeks with last night, I've seen you mature again as a leader. You really look like you've stepped up and that you've got a real handle on the position and really controlling things well.
Yeah, I think, as you know, Maxie, that time is the best thing with leadership. You know, you learn as you go, and obviously I was under you for your captaincy, and I learned a great deal from that. And then, you know, I've also got a great group around me as well who spread the load, and you know, it's not just on me on game day to make sure things are right. And through the week, we've got a really good spread of senior leaders and emerging leaders as well that are really keen to make sure this football club gets back to playing finals football.
On those guys who are around you, you've obviously got the 4 vice-captains in Cloak, Goldsack, Brown and Sidebottom, obviously still not playing at the moment. Those guys all look like they've improved, particularly Nathan Brown and Tyson Goldsack down back. They look like they're really controlling things for you down there.
Yeah, they are. And I think with you going out, Maxie, you used to run the show down there for everybody. And, you know, in the back half of last year when you weren't there, the guys realised what a hole it was and how much leadership we need down there. And Brownie and Goldie have taken it upon themselves to really drive that. And, you know, Frosty's starting to speak now for the first time in his career, which has been really good. And Toves as well. So all those guys are gelling together. You know, they've played 20, 30 games together now, so it's a big difference.
I hate it, Pendles, when I make you my super coach captain and you pass the ball inside 50, go back and take the shot and give me 12 points.
That's part of the growth I'm talking about, though, Robbo.
That's called selfless
a year
football.
Or two ago, Scotty would have probably, and he would have kicked the goal anyway, but he's actually bringing other players into the game.
Not what we need, Scotty. Brownlow medalists kick goals.
Sorry, mate.
I'm talking about, I started with a joke there. But the selflessness in this team is evident. People are doing things to help their opposition. Now, that happens at some clubs. It's happened at Collingwood before. Happened in their premiership year. How do you get it? How do you get that selflessness, Pendles?
Well, I think it starts with the individual being prepared to give up parts of their game to make others look good. You know, and I think when you start doing it consistently and seeing, you know, what goes around comes around in terms of, you know, you might put on a block for someone to take a good mark, but, you know, the next week or whatever, they'll block for you and you'll be able to take a good mark. So you just know that we're doing it for the betterment of the team and that everyone will play well. And then from there, the team plays well. And when you're winning games of footy, mate, it's very easy to do it.
Just talk, I want to get involved. Watching the game last night, it seemed to me that at 75% of the contests, it was 2-on-1 or 3-on-2 or 4-on-2. Now, I want you to help listeners and help them. How does a game evolve where that happens all the time? Is it constant moving at all times by one team, by Collingwood? Is that how it eventuates?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of, you know, forwards getting up the ground too high in team defence. So when the ball gets rebounded back out, you might see it one forward versus two backs. Could be midfielders that are sitting out for position and the ball gets exited and the midfielder's, you know, already 20 metres, you know, defensive side of his man so he can get back and help. But and then the other one's just, you know, plain simple hard work that the guys are willing to get over and try and be that next guy over for your team so we get the outnumber. And I think the more times you can get the outnumber at a contest, you'll win that contest and you can go forward the other way. And, you know, it's good that we were able to display that last night by getting the ball, but also I felt last night we did it defensively as well by always having that next guy in to hit a tackle. And, you know, the boys tackled really well last night.
Scott, we're always learning in AFL football. You're always trying new things. 27 years of age, you've played almost 200 games now, or you're on the verge of your 200th game in a couple of weeks. You're not a big goal kicker. You kicked, I think, 13 last year, the one so far this year prior to last night. I saw Nathan Buckley move you to full forward for a period of last night, or you moved yourself to full forward. Is this something you're bringing into your game? Is this something that can keep you on the ground for longer? Is it something you're trying? And tell us about the change.
Yeah, I think with the depth we've got now that go through the midfield with you know, Swanee obviously back up and running and Taylor Adams, Blairy, Jack Chris, we'll get still side bottom back soon and Levi Greenwood as well, that we've got to be able to play different positions and sacrifice your own game. You know, clearly I'd love to be playing in the midfield for 100% of the game, but you know, as you said, I've got to be able to go forward with my height and take advantage of mismatches or whatever and give the side a different look up forward. And you know, I enjoyed getting down forward last night and you know, trying to take a catch and kick a goal. But you know, the most important thing is, you know, I think last night we had 15 goal kickers, so it makes us a hard team to scout when you come up against us.
When you look at other teams and particularly other players around the competition, everyone's talking about Nat Fyfe at the moment and what he's been able to do as a clearance winner, a midfielder, and then forward of centre. Do you watch a lot of football? Do you learn from these sort of players, or are you concentrating on your own, what you're doing and your own club, your own teammates as a captain, or do you try and steal things from their game? And is he someone that you look at?
Yeah, you certainly look at midfielders in general, just across the whole comp, and you try and pick apart their game and take things from their game that you can add to your game. But at the same time, you've got to understand what your team's trying to achieve. And you know, as you said though, like a guy like Nate Fyfe, I think he's got the whole football world watching him at the moment and dissecting his game. He's you know, doesn't really have any weaknesses in his game. His ability to go forward and take a catch, and you know, he's a contested ball king around the stoppages as well. So he's certainly one that I enjoy watching and you know, try and pick a bit out of his game as well.
Don't sell yourself short, Penels. There's a lot of people in the football world enjoying your performances at the moment.
Absolutely.
Can I ask you a question? Mark Wiley went to you last night. It was his first game. Was it a debutant or has he played a couple?
First game. He's played for GWS, but first game for the Blues.
Game for the Blues. Did you know him? Did you talk to him at all through the night? And did you realise pretty early, right, I've got a young player on me. He hasn't got a lot of experience, and I'm going to run this guy into the ground. Just tell us about your experience with him, can you?
Yeah, it was funny, actually. When the team's coming out, Scotty Burns rang me and said, you know, Andrew Carrasco was out, and they thought he would naturally come to me, and Mark Wiley was in. And, yeah, I've already had the experience with him running with me. He's done it twice with GWS, so we sort of knew what he brings to the table, and I went back and had a look at the tapes from when he was at the Giants and our matchups and battles there. So I knew what type of player he was, and having that previous experience, I knew sort of a way to try and handle him and combat the way, you know, the way he negates.
Right, you were best player on the ground last night. How did you go against him in your previous two encounters?
Yeah, I would say we're one for one before last night.
Did you talk to him?
It was the stoppage game, though, Scott, wasn't it? You absolutely killed him at forward 50 stoppages yourself. In particular, you kicked 10 goals from stoppages last night to Carlton's two. I mean, that's a frightening number.
Yeah, we went in the game knowing that they're a really good stoppage side, so we put a lot of focus and emphasis on just, you know, trying to stop them from scoring, and a byproduct of that was, you know, we were able to get on the other end and be quite damaging.
But on the back of what Robbo's saying, Scott, did you say, look, I know I've got this guy, and orchestrate the stoppages so that you were the target and you were able to get some space? Do you make those alterations in-game or not?
It's almost the opposite when you're getting run with. you can release guys, you can go make two-on-ones, and you can get a free target player on the inside of stoppage. So, you know, when you get that hard negating role, you're often the one that's called upon to manipulate things into your favour. And, you know, we try to do that as well as we can. And last night was one of those nights where it worked really well for us.
It's not good for the... It's like we're going in a good circle here. Maxie asked you about, you know, you're growing as a leader. I think it was the Essendon game, Pendles, when you're in the middle at a stoppage and you block for Broomhead. I remember, I think it was the Essendon game, you block for Broomhead. And I thought to myself, geez, you know, for most of your career, you would just hunt the ball, Pendles. Is that changed? When did that really change? Is it this year, last year, or has it been a gradual process?
Yeah, I think it's a process. I think at the start, when you start getting tagged and run with, you're sort of, you know, trying to just beat your direct opponent. And, you know, watching guys like Sam Mitchell in that grand final versus Fremantle when he had Ryan Crowley and he sacrificed his own game for the betterment of the team and how influential that was that day. You just learn off that and just try and grow as a player.
Scotty, I think I'm going to have to trade you in Supercoach the way you're talking.
Too unselfish.
Nick,
Scotty,
you've got a question.
Yeah, with your forward structure, mate, just Cloke, Jesse White, Galti, the three big fellas, it looks like you're really trying to, once you get the pass halfway, you're trying to get the ball in long and quick because then you've got Blair and Elliott and those guys at their feet. Second for inside 50, but 15th for efficiency inside 50. Is that a real problem? Is that something you're looking at? And what is the ideal forward structure? Is Ben Reid going to be part of that?
I think... You know, with Reedy, mate, he needs to get up and going first.
Didn't like your question.
Ask a tough question.
It's a really good question, though.
See
what do they do
see
with...
what Reedy does? He's even broken down the line of communication.
It's a good question, Maxie. Where do they play Ben Reid now?
Well, Buck said he was playing in defence. That's what he said in the preseason. He made it clear that that's where he was going to play.
So Frost is playing well. Brown is playing really well. And Goldsack, I suppose Goldsack is that swingman, isn't he?
They won't play all three. They won't play Reid, Frost and Brown.
They'll
only play two of them, and then Goldsack gets your third tall. Feel like they're too top-heavy if they go up the three. But I think up the other end of the ground, that's the interesting part, because they really look like they know that they were second in ineffective kicks going into last night. So they still know that although they had a good kicking game last night, that it isn't a real strength. So they just get the ball in long, we're dangerous players down there, and then the defenders can come up the ground and defend while the ball's in your forward 50. So that real high pressure up there. But I just wonder whether those three tall guys are going to be the structure going forward. Where do you go with those three big guys?
I think, Maxie, this is why I love the move of Scott Pendlebury to full forward. It is too cloak-centric at the moment. And defences work out where it's going. It happened about five or six times last night where I felt sorry for Dane Swan, of all people. He charged inside 50 and was unsighted. He wasn't targeted and he was free. He was actually 15 yards free inside the forward 50. So I like the new mix up forward. I think Reid will go forward. He won't have the match conditioning and the fitness, particularly early on,
and
to go
hardness.
Down back. And Galt, whilst he's developing quite nicely, his position, you'd say, is still not a lock, and I think Reid could move in there nicely.
We've got Scott back just for the last minute or so of the interview. Just that answer on Ben Reid, amongst other things there, Scotty.
Yeah, I think with Reid, obviously needs to get his body right, and just get back up to speed, but I think with the forward structure, with the 3-3, you know, it gives us a good mix of guys that can fly for the footy. It doesn't all come back to Trav to compete. And then all our smalls are in good form. You know, you see Jamie can play big and small. Travi Varko, you know, Blair is in really good form at the moment. Sammy Dwyer played a good role out there last night. So I think it's, you know, one of those things that will keep balancing out. Jared Witts has been, you know, a star in the VFL, so he's putting his hand up for selection as well. So there's a bit of pressure on for spots.
How do you feel your day after a game like last night, Scott?
Well, I started off with a clinic this morning. So we had the Magpie Stars clinic down at the Oval today and a bit of recovery. And now I'm just grabbing a coffee with a few of the boys before the VFL game starts.
Just as we let you go, Scotty, then do you reassess four wins, one loss? Do you reassess your goals for the season upwards?
No, because our goals all along have been to grow as the season progresses and give ourselves a chance at final football. And the next month we've got three sides that played in the finals last year, and we've also got the Gold Coast up there where we haven't won in a while. So the next month for us is going to be a massive challenge and one we look forward to.
Thanks for joining us. Well played last night.
Well done. All right, thanks, guys.
Scott Penn will be joining us. They're just taking it four games at a
playing
time.
Good
down
football.
There at
the that's actually. That's funny. The day that a player turns around to that question, Hutto, and says, "You know what? You're right. We think we're a top four team now."
I like the other question. I'll wait for the day where the player turns around and says, you know what, I've just wrestled into my first pot. It's 12 o'clock. I'm probably going to have 12 or 14 and roll down to the races and see if I can back the card.
Things have changed from the 90s, Kingy. Yeah. All right, we're coming up to midday. Just a quick tease, boys. The Judd interview, what did you think of that? We've got Brendan Gale about to join us next, so we'll delay before we can speak about it further. What did you think?
I think Juddy didn't hide anything. I thought he was... We use the word buy-in. I thought we had buy-in on a really good discussion then about the club, where he thinks the club is. I wanted to find out, Juddy's such a professional, or we call him professional, or we call him a person who perhaps hides his feelings. But I felt listening to Judd today that he was really hurt by what happened last night.
Mm. I think he showed a bit more than what he often does, didn't he?
Yeah, I thought we just heard a little bit more about the person. Well, I felt that anyway.
All right.
He's very honest, isn't he?
Yeah, well, it was the stuff about players, you know, and he was talking about the past, but being selfish and...
Happy to be there.
Happy to be there.
Talking about going for new next contracts and that sort of thing. And it sounds like he's had, the way he was talking, four or five of those discussions. It didn't sound like it was a one-off.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a break. Brendan Gale to join us next, the CEO of the Tigers. Lots of other issues in the crunch coming up. This is Crunch Time. With thanks to Ringwood Mazda. When it comes to the crunch, you won't get a better deal.